Welcome back to Insights Now. I'm David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist here at JP Morgan Asset Management. Despite lagging the broader index, industrial stocks performed well in 2024, gaining over 17% on a total return basis. Sector fundamentals, however, have been more challenged. After an impressive post-COVID recovery, supported double-digit earnings growth in 2022, industrial earnings have been in the doldrums alongside U.S. manufacturing activity. In fact, on a year-over-year basis, the sector is on pace to see earnings contract in the last three quarters of 2024. That being said, prospects ahead look brighter. With AI and policy tailwinds, increased focus on domestic infrastructure investment, and the Fed now easing policy, earnings growth is expected to accelerate in 2025, providing investors with a broad menu of investment options to choose from within the sector. To share what he's seeing across the industrials complex, Gabriela Santos, my new co-host, will be joined by Rob Maloney, an equity research analyst covering industrials. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can now watch along on YouTube by tuning in to our JP Morgan Asset Management channel, linked to the show notes. Now let's get started. Over to you, Gabriela.
Thank you so much, David. Rob, I'm always curious about how someone ended up in their current role. So how did you end up becoming a research analyst and investor, and why specifically around industrials and energy?
Sure. Thanks so much for the question, Gabby. So I had always had a really deep-seated interest in markets and economics, and I knew that I wanted to work in some sort of market capacity when I came out of undergrad. And so when I, you know, kind of started to think about things that I was going to do, research seemed like a really interesting place for me to think about. I had studied international affairs in college, and so I did a bunch of work on international markets and currencies and commodities, and that led to a role at Morgan Stanley in their research department in the industrial space. So to an extent, I fell into the industrials group because it was kind of where there was a job at the time. But what I'll tell you is, having grown up in a family where we owned an industrial distributorship, where I spent time with my dad visiting construction sites and industrial facilities, helping them provide the products and support that these companies needed to keep their facilities running, I felt like it was really close to my heart. Additionally, I've always had a real great desire or great interest in planes, trains, and automobiles. And that's what I do every single day. I'm really lucky to be able to work on and think about those industries that are focused on those big pieces of capital equipment.
And in terms of a day in the life, how much are you spending seeing planes, trains, automobiles, or in planes, trains, automobiles? Give us a little peek here of what you do day to day.
Sure. So, I mean, every day is very different. And I would say from a high level, you know, I'm traveling, you know, 1 or 2 weeks a month, meeting with companies, going to trade shows, thinking about the industry, working with folks who are in the industry. I mean, for me, it's such a treat to be able to go to something like the Paris Air Show or the Farm Progress Show in Iowa, the Detroit Auto Show, thinking about these really interesting industries and getting to meet with the folks who are making that happen. It's a really cool opportunity, and JP Morgan allows me to do some really amazing things.
It's not just theoretical, of course. You have to go and see these things. And of course, industrials can encompass a lot of different types of things. So for some of us that maybe didn't grow up with that background or don't focus on it as much, what are kind of different buckets you would put under the broader umbrella sector?
So when we think about it, you know, it is everything that is really in kind of a B2B context. Transportation, those are railroads that transport raw materials and finished goods from one place to another. Trucking companies, which you understand as well, similar situation. Then the makers of that capital equipment, rail car manufacturers, locomotive manufacturers, truck manufacturers, auto manufacturers are fascinating and have had an interesting growth story over the last several years with the transition to EVs. Then there's just factory automation and robotics, something that we spend a lot of time thinking about, particularly in the growth space. Beyond that, there are materials that we spend a lot of time thinking about. And then there's the whole world of the energy transition, which encompasses everything from traditional oil and gas through to utilities, onto the renewable space, which has had a really interesting run over the last several years.
And you mentioned a few of these items around robotics, automation, electric vehicles. But in general, there's a lot of technological innovation behind the physical world these days, right?
For sure.
What are some of the big innovations or themes that are actually having an impact on planes, trains, automobiles?
Yeah, I mean, we are really excited about the opportunities that we see in this space, whether it is electrification of the home, vehicles, the data center. We think that's a fascinating driver that's going to be with us for many years to come. We think rebuilding the grid is a really interesting and exciting opportunity. And it's going to be the way that we get the electrons that we can generate to the places where they're needed. Beyond that, we spend a lot of time in the growth funds thinking about aerospace and defense. Mm. Aerospace and defense, particularly aerospace, is a real growth market within the areas we cover. I always like to tell people that more than 75% of the world has never taken their first flight.
That stat blew my mind when you mentioned it to me the other day.
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so consequently, aerospace tends to be a really good growth market. So there's a really broad array of areas where we spend time thinking about what could grow faster than the economy or could grow faster than peers. And it's not only a high-level industry view, but it's also trying to figure out which companies and industries have better technology and are going to be able to compete and win either for share or excess growth.
And a big topic, of course, is around technology is generative AI. Now, maybe some of us would be surprised that actually a lot of companies in your space have been using it for a while.
For sure.
What are some examples that people might not be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, great point. I mean, when we think about it, aerospace and autopilot has been in place for many, many years, and that's a great use of AI-type technologies. But go a little further, and we've had automated mining trucks for the last 5 or 10 years now. We think automation is going to have a really important role on farm fields, and John Deere and its ilk are rolling out a really broad array of technologies which are going to automate the entire production system of agricultural production. Beyond that, you get into the very hot topic of automated vehicles. Mm. That's an area where we've spent an enormous amount of time. In December, I spent 3 hours riding around in an AV and really had my mind blown at just how far this technology has come. Then there's robotics, the idea of humanoid robots, which could be further down the road, but there's just a whole host of applications where we think autonomy and AI are going to have a really big impact on the future.
And it's really the combination of the two, right? AI and automation.
For
that's
sure.
Particularly powerful. And it wasn't just born when ChatGPT came into our consciousness.
Yeah.
In terms of the other hot topic around the build out of the actual AI infrastructure.
Yes.
Now, that was a hot topic on the upside in 2024, and then it's become an area of some questioning recently around the DeepSeek news and how maybe there's a more efficient way and questions around CapEx and a little bit of a sell-off in some companies in your space. How are you thinking about the actual implications of the build-out of AI for some of the other companies in the space?
So first of all, we think this is an enormous opportunity that we're going to be working on for many years. Whether chips become 10x more efficient, 100x more efficient, or 1,000x more efficient, we think you're going to be using significantly more data through the use of inference and the end uses that come from deflation in AI. So from a starting point, we think this is a huge driver, and we think it's going to be an enormous opportunity for us. And we think that the news this week with DeepSeek helps us to get to a place where there is going to be a more rational build-out over the next several years. We think that creates really interesting opportunities in things like physical infrastructure. We think that's a construction story and a power generation story. We think there's really interesting and compelling drivers around the upgrade of the grid. You know, many of your listeners may know that the grid was really built out during the period of the 1950s through the 1970s, and it was decrepit before we started putting these incremental uses of electricity and on the grid. We just think there's enormous opportunity in that area as well. Then we see opportunities in energy, both traditional, renewable, and electrical power. And so we're spending a lot of time thinking about all of those opportunities. While we think DeepSeek speaks to the innovation that we are going to see over the next several years, we think there's a really good case to be made that all of these trends should remain in place.
And you did mention energy, which is also a sector that you cover, very interrelated to a variety of topics, including AI. What are kind of some of the interesting trends in the energy sector right now? And you mentioned that it's not just one energy solution, right?
Sure.
There's a whole combination of different types of energy needed here.
Yeah, I mean, at JP Morgan, we broadly view energy, the solution to the energy transition, as an all-of-the-above proposition. We think you're going to need all of the traditional energy that we have, and then more. We think you're going to need a new cadre of nuclear power generation, which is going to help us get to that zero emissions energy. And then we think you're going to need an enormous amount of renewables with storage. We're excited about all of those opportunities. And we've looked at that through lots of different ways, whether that is investing in traditional energy producers who are producing oil and gas, or liquefied natural gas and exporting it overseas. We think that's a very interesting opportunity and allows the United States to capitalize on a really unique built-in advantage that we have here in the U.S. We think that the idea of transforming and transporting energy around the country is a really exciting opportunity. We've already talked about the grid opportunities that we see out there, but we think that's a big driver. And finally, we think renewables are going to be an important part of the conversation, particularly when they're married with energy storage solutions. And we think energy storage is really the key to making those renewables dispatchable at all times of the day. Mm. And we think this is a really exciting opportunity. And we've found opportunities in all three of those areas.
That's interesting you mentioned that, because one common complaint perhaps about renewables is that they're not available all the time. And so here's a conversation about nuclear and natural gas. So there are solutions to be able to store some of that energy and make it much more usable.
Absolutely. And we're really reliable. Excited about that. Totally.
Yeah.
That idea of reliability is something that we spend an enormous amount of time on. And we think there are ways to get from where we are today to a cleaner energy future, but we think it's going to take all of the above.
Yeah. Speaking of energy, something that the new administration has been very focused on early on, a lot of executive orders around the space, also a focus and maybe later in the year even more around tariffs, manufacturing, and the transfer of goods around the world. So how do you think about policy changes affecting the energy side and the industrial side?
For sure. We think there's three critical areas where you're going to see the new administration have a really big impact on my coverage. One is on deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
Regulation has been an impediment to faster growth in traditional energy generation and in the spread and upgrade of our electrical grid, just because it's difficult to build things, and has been very difficult to build things over the past several years. We think a deregulation move by the Trump administration could help us get to a place where we're able to build more faster. Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was recently with a number of management teams, and they said, we're excited about the idea of drill, baby, drill, but we're really excited about the idea of build, baby, build. We think there is so much infrastructure that can be built in the years ahead. The next one is on tariffs. While most of the companies that I cover manufacture where they sell, we think there are interesting implications for tariffs, and we're spending a lot of time thinking about that, whether that is in agriculture, which could be the focus of a reciprocal tariff, or whether it is in the development of more industrial manufacturing capacity here in the U.S. that could be engendered by more tariffs. We think all these things create different types of opportunities that we want to think about over the next several years. Final point is on M&A. We think there are areas of our coverage that could use further consolidation. And we think that over the next several years, you're going to see some of these more fragmented industries consolidate into places that make more sense from a general industrial perspective.
Interesting. And we've done a lot of work also around tariffs in the team. And this idea that actually you have to think about the reciprocal tariffs as well, right?
Sure.
And you mentioned agriculture, which was really very much at the eye of the storm with China last time around in 2018. So that's super interesting. There are many, many, many exciting themes, I think, in the industrial space, in the energy space. It is not just, you know, old sectors, old companies. It is very much at the heart of a lot of innovation. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, as a research analyst and as an investor, you have to take into account valuations, expectations, positioning, sizing. And I think a day like the DeepSeek Monday day, when you did have a correction in a lot of companies and sectors that perhaps had been seeing too much expected in it, is there a lesson there for investors? As much excited as they can be about the themes
Sure.
you mentioned, how should they be thinking about some of the valuation and expectations challenge?
Yeah, it's such a good question because it's at the heart of what we do as a process. What we are looking for fundamentally are companies where we see the biggest disconnect between where fundamentals are today and where we think they're going and where the street thinks they will ultimately end up. What that means is we spend an enormous amount of time digging into what the long-term opportunity is for these companies, understanding their industries, their competitors, their customers, to try to arrive at something that hopefully looks very different than consensus. If we can find that, then we're going to be making an investment. What I think we've seen over the last several months has been a increased appreciation for assets that play into the AI theme. And so consequently, we've been transitioning our portfolios to areas where we think there are new and different opportunities that may be less appreciated within the market. Mm-hmm. For instance, we think railroads and transportation companies, which have been in the midst of a pretty significant downturn since the post-COVID hangover created a large inventory overhang. We think that is clearing up now and could create an opportunity for really exciting growth going forward. We also think there's areas of industrial short cycle exposure. That is flow goods that go into the operation of factories and industrial facilities, which we think are potentially going to see significantly higher than expected growth just due to the fact that we're reaching the end of that period of inventory destocking. So lots of opportunities in the sexy tech stuff, the AI adjacent, but we think nearer term, there are some opportunities that folks may be overlooking in things that are a bit more prosaic and look a little bit more like the traditional industrial and energy work that we've done historically.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
For sure.
Now, we always have a bonus question at the end of our podcast.
Okay.
Which is, if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more the space that you cover, or maybe just the process you have as an investor, what's a book or a podcast or a TV show that you'd recommend?
Okay. So I said at the top of this that I'm a real nerd for planes, trains, and automobiles. I especially like aerospace. It really gets me going. There is a podcast called the Aerospace and Defense Weekly Report. It's run by a fellow named Vago Maradian, who has been the longtime editor of Defense and Aerospace Weekly down in Washington, D.C. I think it is the best way to understand what is going on in the aerospace industry. There is a edition of it that comes out on Saturday, which is the Business Roundtable, where they have a number of different analysts and industry folks who I think do a better rundown of what's going on in aerospace and defense than anybody else. Sometimes it's got geopolitics, sometimes they're talking Boeing, but there's always something interesting going on in that space. And if you're interested in planes, this is a really interesting place to work.
All right. Here we go. That's a great suggestion.
Thank you,
Rob. And thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all so much for listening. We will be publishing or have published different interviews with other research analysts across different sectors like semiconductors, utilities, healthcare, payments and fintech, utilities. So please make sure to check it out. Thank you so much.
This material is for information purposes only. The views, opinions, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions are those of the speaker and may differ from those expressed J.P. Morgan Asset Management or by other areas of J.P. Morgan Chase & Co. Any companies referenced are shown for illustrative purposes only and are not intended as a recommendation. We believe the information provided here is reliable, but should not be assumed to be accurate or complete. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for all investors. This content is intended for information only based on assumptions and current market conditions and are subject to change. No warranty of accuracy is given. This content does not contain sufficient information to support investment decisions. It is not to be construed as research, legal, regulatory, tax, accounting, or investment advice. Investments involve risks. Investors should seek professional advice or make an independent evaluation before investing. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate, including loss of capital. Past performance and yield are not indicative of current or future results. Forecasts and estimates may or may not come to pass. J.P. Morgan Asset Management is the asset management business of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and its affiliates worldwide.